Hallelujah. Yes, yes. Amen. Well, you know, I got a real surprise this morning. And I cannot call the name of the young lady who sang a moment ago, but I didn't know that women who are raised Muslim could sing. But I mean, they always look kind of sad to me when I see them on the television, but I heard a lot of joy. He's everything. Jesus is everything, and that's what's really true when you come to know Him, as she did, and her mother came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. It made a great difference. Always does. Hallelujah. Anyone had an answer to prayer this week? You had an answer to prayer this week. Quite a few had an answer to prayer this week. We could take the time to talk to all of you. We'd hear a lot of wonderful, good testimonies. I can testify of one answer to prayer this week. I happen to be closely associated with Joe Thorne. He went through a very serious operation and just came right through that to the amazement of the doctors. And I was up there a day after his operation. He's up walking around. And the Lord has really, really answered prayer in Joe Thorne's behalf. And there are others who've had miracles of one kind or another this week in response or an answer to the prayers that have been prayed in this house. I want to begin my message this morning with a question. The question is, what are you thinking about? What are you thinking about? It does make a great difference, you know, because the scripture says, as one thinketh in his heart, so is he. And your first response to this question this morning could be, when I ask, what are you thinking about? You could say, well, it's none of your business what I'm thinking about. And that's true. It's none of my business really. And yet, in some ways, it's all of my business. But I'll tell you one thing, it's your business what you're thinking about. It's your business, and you determine what you're going to be thinking about. Amen. It's your decision. What you think about is your choice. If you want to think about these beautiful fall flowers that just mysteriously appeared on this platform this morning, I don't know where they came from, who put them here, but how beautiful they are and how... what a reminder of the season that we're a part of now. But if I want to think about these, about this arrangement right here, I can just focus my attention right here and think about this. One of the things that we as human beings have that, as far as we're able to understand, animals don't have. They have reflex responses like we have those as well. But we can think and meditate and plan. And we can implement, and we can remember. And God has created a wonderful thing, David says, when He created this human family of which you and I are a part. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1, I was looking at this week, and this scripture these words just jumped out to me. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1, because it gives us some a real strong word about our thoughts. Chapter 3, verse 1, and I'm reading from the New International Version. Therefore, holy brothers, who share in the heavenly calling, listen to this now, fix your thoughts on Jesus. Fix your thoughts on Jesus. Might do good too for some people to fix their thoughts about Jesus, because maybe they're not thinking right about Jesus. Fix your thoughts on Jesus, the apostle and high priest, whom we confess. He was faithful to the one who appointed him, just as Moses was faithful in all of God's house. Fix your thoughts on Jesus, and you decide whether or not you want to do this. Proverbs chapter 23, as I quoted a while ago, is a person thinks in his heart. That's what he really is. And most of us spend an awful lot of time thinking about something. In fact, we spend all of our waking hours thinking about something. I have asked my wife a few times, "What are you thinking about?" And she said, "Nothing." I never believed her, because we are thinking about something. We are usually thinking about ourselves. Have you noticed that? We're thinking about the things that concern us. We're thinking about the immediate things that we are dealing with and facing. We're thinking about things that are a little way in the future. And we think about those, and some of us think about things away out there in the future that we don't really have a lot of information about, but we think on those things. And the way you think about things, and in particular the way you, if you allow yourself to dwell too much on yourself, those thoughts can produce all kinds of negative effects in your life. I'll never forget that morning. I think we just hadn't been up a long time when I heard a rather loud knock on the front door of the house where we were living. And when I opened the door, there stood Bud Tillman. Bud Tillman he played the piano and was sort of leading our worship in the little church where I was pastoring in Seligman, Missouri. I could see panic in his eyes. And when he came into the house, he just blurted out, "9 of my father's folks have committed suicide, and I know that's what's going to happen to me." Well, that's not a good word to be awakened with. And I didn't know, I had no training in counseling. I didn't know what to say to Bud Tillman. And if you don't know what to say, a good thing to say is, "Let's pray." Amen. And that's what I said. And so we knelt down by the couch in the living room, and I began to pray for Bud Tillman, because he was on the verge of a total nervous collapse. He had been thinking about he was probably going to commit suicide because so many of his father's family had done that. He just was thinking, "That's what's going to happen to me too." And I believe that's exactly what the enemy wanted him to think. And so he was just on the verge of a total emotional collapse. And we knelt and prayed just for a few moments, and the Lord told me what to say to Bud and the tone to use. And it was totally contrary to my temperament, because I tend to have my mother's temperament, and I'm generally pretty gentle with people. But after praying just a short moment, just not more than 3 or 4 minutes, I just turned to Bud and said, "Bud, you're the most selfish, self-centered person I think I've ever seen. Here you're telling me you might commit suicide, and if you did, we wouldn't miss you 2 weeks." That's pretty hard stuff, you know. Not my nature to do that. Totally contrary to my nature to do that. And yet I said, I was saying these kind of harsh things about him. I said, "You're a Christian. You're even leading worship in our church. And souls are dying everywhere and going to hell. And do you think about them?" "No, you're not thinking about them. All you're thinking about is whether or not you're going to commit suicide." Well, now he was no longer thinking about committing suicide. He was thinking about killing me. I mean, his neck started turning red, I'd switched him from fear to anger. I didn't know what I was doing, but the Lord did. The Lord knew exactly what I was doing. Now he was not afraid that he was going to commit suicide. He was angry at my harshness and soon left my house. And I'm sure, I don't remember my exact thoughts during those days, but I probably had such thoughts as these running through my mind. Well, you really messed that one up. You really messed that one up. Here's a man really got in trouble, and all you did was call him selfish and self-centered, and he wasn't thinking about anybody but himself. But Bud went off, and when his anger subsided, suddenly he knew that this was the truth. I started him thinking in a different way. Well, I saw Bud not long ago. That was like 50 years ago. I saw him not long ago. You know what? He's still living and breathing. And in fact, seemed to be quite happy after having married and raised a rather large family with children and grandchildren and probably even great-grandchildren by this time. Never did commit suicide. He told me after that incident, I never had anything help me so much as that word you gave me that day, because it changed my way of thinking about me. It does matter how you think, because wrong thinking can produce all kinds of wrong feelings and can end in wrong action that may be disastrous for you or for somebody else. So it does matter how you think about things. And you have the ability to choose and decide whether or not you're going to think positive, upbuilding and edifying thoughts, or whether you're going to think thoughts that tear down, that bring fear and anxiety and all kinds of different emotions that are produced by your thoughts. Amen. All kinds of things can affect our emotions. A friend of mine sat down at a piano one day at a civic club, and he sat down at this piano and he said, "You know, I can make you feel all kinds of different things with music." And he started playing music that sounded like a rippling brook. I mean, it just brought such feelings of peace, and you could just almost see the water running, and you could hear it on the piano as he was playing this beautiful music. And then all at once he began to play like he was agitated, and he was hitting all kinds of loud notes, and suddenly you were feeling something totally different than you felt before, because he was controlling our thoughts by the music he was playing. It's hard to imagine that, but it is true that our thoughts are controlled by a lot of different things. And this is why the apostle here says, fix your thoughts on Jesus. Because if you don't fix your thoughts on Jesus, they will run off in different directions and many times will not produce a positive result, but in fact will bring all kinds of feelings of fear and anger and depression if you allow your mind to follow thoughts that are not edifying or upbuilding. Fix your thoughts on Jesus. Let's say it. Fix your thoughts on Jesus. Keep your mind filled with things that are edifying. Read, listen to, think upon those kind of things that bring peace. Amen. Jesus said, Matthew 6:25, "Do not worry about tomorrow." Do not fret about tomorrow. Fix your thoughts on Jesus. He is your future, and His thoughts about you are fixed. Amen. He has His thoughts fixed on us. He says in Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 11 to 14. I'm going to turn over there because I want to read this whole portion of Scripture. Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 11 to 14. This is what it's saying here. If I can find it. Yes, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me. When you seek me with all your hearts, I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from whatever is holding you in captivity. And in the King James, it says, I know my thoughts about you. I know my thoughts. I know my plans. I have good plans for you. And when you begin to fix your mind on Him, you'll begin to get an understanding of His thoughts about you. And they're not negative. His thoughts about you are not negative thoughts. He's thinking good thoughts about you. He has good plans for your life. And all you've got to do is fix your thoughts on Him, and He'll begin to put His thoughts in you. Hallelujah. Yes. Blessed be the name of Jesus. And you can do that. It's not something that we can't do. Somebody said, I think I read this somewhere. I don't really think I'm wise enough to have made this up. I'm sure I read it. I'm like Will Rogers. I don't know anything except what I've read either in the Bible or in the newspaper or in somebody's book. But someone, I think, said, aim at nothing and you'll be sure and hit it. Amen. Reminds me of my cousin who, as he was getting older, he drank a lot of coffee. I don't know if it had anything to do with it or not, but he was real shaky. I mean, just pretty really. And my brother asked him if he was going to go deer hunting. He said, well, yes, I am. I'm going to go deer hunting. And Ronnie said, my brother said, well, how are you going to hit anything? You just shake so much. How can you hit anything? He said, how can I miss? I'm aiming everywhere. I guess it's a good way. You've got to have positive thinking here. I guess you've got to think positive about it. You know, he could have think, I couldn't hit anything, but he said, I can't miss anything. I'm aiming everywhere. Amen. Yes. Aim at nothing and you'll be sure, you're sure to hit it. Nehemiah chapter 4 verse 6 says, these walls were completed because the people had a mind to work. They had set their mind. They were focusing their attention on the immediate project and would not be distracted by anything the enemy sought to do. Oh yes, there is an enemy, and here's where he does most of his work. Right here. If he can get into your mind and begin to capture your thoughts and begin to make suggestions to you about and lead you in your thinking, he has for all practical purposes made you null and void as far as his kingdom is concerned. Set or fix your thoughts on Jesus. Turn and look at somebody right in the eye and say, fix your thoughts on Jesus. Fix your thoughts on Jesus. When you do, you're the one that's going to be blessed. You're the one that's going to be helped. You're the one that's going to come out of the problem, out of the difficulties that you're facing, because you have fixed your thoughts on the Lord, who is thinking good thoughts about your future. He knows everything about it, and He's fixed His thoughts on your future. Isaiah 26 verse 3 says, perfect peace is experienced by those who fix their thoughts on Him. Do you want peace? You know how it is when you get confused and frustrated? Usually it starts right in here. And your thoughts are not fixed on Him, but fixed on the problem, fixed on the circumstance that you may be dealing with at that moment. And the more you think about it, the bigger it seems and the more impossible it seems to you for you to do anything about it. Great peace, he says, Isaiah says. Perfect peace, in fact. Perfect peace. Do you want some of that? Do you want perfect peace? Then he said, fix your thoughts on Him. Not on the problem. Amen. Fix your thoughts on Him. I'm not saying that the problem goes away. I'm not saying that it's suddenly fixed, that the problem gets fixed. No, the thinking has to get fixed before the problem gets fixed. Amen. The thinking has to change. And in fact, repentance begins with change of mind. In fact, some translators believe, and some people who are giving us the meaning of those Greek words believe, that true repentance begins, and I have to agree with that, true repentance begins with a change of thinking. Because every action follows the way we are thinking. Amen. So if I can change the way I think, I can change the way I am. If I can change the way I think, I may not be able to change the situation, but I'll change the way I'm dealing with that situation, and instead of being defeated by it, I will become the victor. I'll become the one that is in charge. It will no longer be controlling me. I'll be controlling it. Amen. As a person thinks in his heart, so is he. Amen. So we got to think right. If you're thinking negative thoughts, you got to change. You can change. You can change. You can think positive thoughts. And that ought to be easy for us if we remember that He who created all things is saying, I know my thoughts about you. I know my plans for your life. Plans for good. Plans to increase you. Plans to bless you. That's God's plan. And I know that there's an enemy that comes and tries to intrude into our mind and try to convince us that God really doesn't love us. Oh, that He loves sinners, but He don't have much use for Christians. Yeah, we're real quick to tell a guy that's a sinner. We're real quick to tell him, God loves you. Don't we do that all the time? Don't make any difference how far down he is, how deep he is in sin. We'll quickly say, God loves you just like you are. But we don't say that to one another. Amen. We think He loves sinners like they are, but we think He loves Christians if we can get changed. If we can just make enough changes that He'll love us. No, He loves us just like we are and enough to never leave us that way. Amen. He's not going to leave us the way we are. He's going to help us by getting into our thought life. Amen. We begin to think in a different way about matters. You see, every positive and every good or bad thing that has happened in the world, that has, every one of those things were preceded by thoughts. This building is here because somebody thought. Amen. They had a plan. And then somebody picked it up and had a different plan. I thank God we're in a new plan for this building now. It's still a place where you eat. It's just a different kind of food. Amen. It's a different kind of food. And people are here getting nourished in their spirit instead of nourished in their body. They're here to receive something that's going to make an eternal difference in their life because it will change the way we think about things. And when that happens, we will become a different person than we are. A better person. Because we're thinking positive thoughts. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, and the following verses says, whatever is true, noble, right, admirable, pure, lovely, excellent, praiseworthy, think on these things. Whatever is good, whatever is true, whatever is admirable, whatever is praiseworthy, whatever is excellent. The natural mind will run after other kind of thinking. But when we get in the Spirit, that's what we want to think about. We want to think about what's true. We want to think about what's honest. We want to think about what's excellent, what's praiseworthy, things that lift us up, things that strengthen and encourage us. We want to think on those things. But the enemy comes to try to draw a veil over all the good things. You know the real difference in a normal person and one who is really beginning to have problems? A normal person, when they look back, think about good things that happened. Others think about all the bad things that have happened. Amen. When I look back, I try to remember, and for the most part, remember the good times. Amen. I don't mean I haven't had some bad times along the way. We all have. Difficult things. But I don't dwell on those things. I'm dwelling on the good things, the honest things, the true things, the things that lift, that uplift my spirit. I'm thinking on these things. And that's what the apostle said to the Philippians. Think on these things. You have the choice. You make the decision. Amen. It's your decision. You can think on the good things or you can think on the bad things. I choose to think good thoughts about pure and honest and true things. Hallelujah. That's what I'm choosing to think about, and I know the result of that is peace in your heart. Fix your thoughts on Jesus. Fix your thoughts on Him. Because you see, I believe that our tomorrows are in His hands. Ira Stanville, who lived his final days right here in Fort Worth, Texas, one of the greatest of, in my mind, one of the greatest of the songwriters of my generation, wrote a song one time. He says in this song, I don't know about tomorrow. I just live from day to day. I don't borrow from its sunshine because its skies may turn to gray. I don't worry o'er the future, for I know what Jesus said. And today, He walks beside me and He knows what is ahead. I don't know about tomorrow. I just live from day to day. I don't borrow from its sunshine, for its skies may turn to gray. I don't worry o'er the future, for I know what Jesus said. And today He walks beside me, and He knows what is ahead. Many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow. And Do you know who's holding your hand? Hallelujah. Do you know who's holding your hand? Put your hand in His and think about what He is saying. And you can walk with a sense of purpose and direction in your life and know that when this is finally over, the one who's holding our hand will bring us right on through that tunnel of death into the very presence of God Almighty Himself.